Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 28th of September, 2008. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. Well, sorry that there was no sermon last week, but we've got a new mixing desk at church and we had a few recording problems. But this week we've got a very special service for you. It was an all-age baptism service where Lynn showed her love for Jesus by being baptised in front of the whole church. The reading is Joshua 5 verses 13 to 15 and the subject is Draw Near to God. I've edited bits of the service together for you as best I can and I hope you really enjoy it as much as we did there this morning. So over to Andy as he's introducing the service.
Well, I do want to give you all a very warm welcome to our all-age service this morning. It's good to be together, all together, especially as we celebrate with Lynn as she's obedient to the command of the Lord to be baptised. I believe, Lynn, the waters are warm. So it's okay. Would someone just be prepared who enjoys and loves reading the Bible? Just put your finger in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 15, and in a moment I might ask you to come and read that for us. Joshua chapter 5, 13 to 15. But before we get there, I think chocolates are the answer to most things. Did you say amen, Daniel? Did you say amen? No. When I ask you this question, Daniel, you want to say yes. Okay. Did you say amen? Oh, you didn't. He's because he's so honest. If he'd said amen, I was going to give him a chocolate, but because he's so honest, you can have two. One of those and one of those. God bless you. Right. I've got two boxes of celebrations. I thought Lynn's getting baptised. We need to celebrate. These will be available after the service if you're having tea and coffee. If you're not, you won't get one. But if you are, they're here. And I reckon those of you on this side of the room, you can have this box, this tub. For those of you on this side of the room, you can have this tub. They're exactly the same. I've only just opened them. All right? Too short. Yeah, but which one is? You have no idea. I just quickly, I want a bit of help. You know, sometimes you have to guess a word. I want you to guess a word. I'm going to need some help. Would someone just think of a letter that might appear in this word, and I want you to come up here and tell me. If you get it right, okay, you can have a chocolate, and then you get to hold the letter. If you don't get it right, you can still have a chocolate, but you have to sit down. But the side that you've come from, I take a handful of chocolates from that side, and I put them in that side. Okay? Right. So who's going to be first to come up and just pluck a letter? Come on. Actually, you be very careful as you come round here. I'll have everybody on to me about this. Right, and some of you else, you need to be thinking of a letter. So you've come over from this side. Right. Now, think of a letter that might be in my word. Think of a letter. L? L isn't in my word. So, you can quickly choose one. One of those. All right, but I'm going to take a handful out of here. No, no. Okay. Are you going to come and give me a letter? Are you going to give me a letter? Or you just want to come up here, do you? You want a chocolate, don't you? You're desperate. All right, you come up here. Come on. Right, now give me tell me a letter that might appear in my word. A letter from the alphabet.
Ba.
Was that a R? It was a R. Wasn't it a R? I heard a R. It's the letter R. Well done. You can have a chocolate, but don't go and sit down. Well done. All right, you stay right there because I want you to hold this letter for me. Okay? R. Okay? Can you come and stand over here? Because it's the first letter of my word. Can you hold that up? Can you hold that up there? That's to remind everybody. All right? Okay? Right, let's have someone from over here. Well, hang on a minute. Yeah, Sam, come on. You're from this side. This, okay, a letter. A is not. So you can have a chocolate. But friends, I'm going to take a handful out of here. Right. Okay, anyone over here? Anyone over here? Do you want to come? Come on then. Up you come. Come on then. Give us a letter. Can you feel the tension in the building? Building. Ooh, my word. A letter that might be in my word.
T.
T? Did you say T?
Yeah.
Well, there's a T. Would you like... have a chocolate. All right. Now come and stand up here if you would. Because that is the last letter of our word. Would you hold that for me? Would that be all right? Good girl. Well done. Nice to see you. Okay, so we've got a beginning word, a beginning letter, and an end letter. I'll let you know there are 7 letters in total. Come on then. Up you come. Now, you're from this side. This is looking decidedly low, guys. Right, you've got to be really, really careful. Okay, what, give me a letter. Did you say E?
Yeah.
As in E?
Yeah.
That is a good letter, brothers and sisters. That is a good letter. Because there's not only one, but there's two E's. So should we give a 2? Go on then. Two handfuls. Take 2. You can have 2. You can give one to your older sister. You'd like to do that, wouldn't you? Yeah. What? Okay, perhaps our older sister... is our older sister here? Would she come up and just hold the second E for me? Now, there's one. And there's a second one, I think. No, there's a second one. All right. Okay. Right, up you come. Will you give her one of those? Right, you can hold one. All right, could you move along a little bit? All right, that's it. There. Let's turn it up the right way. It's about here. So, you've got a couple of more letters here and another letter here. We're getting there. No calling out of the word, though, please. All right, so you came from this side. So, anyone from over here? Anyone from over here? Who's going to risk it? Who's we? Neil? Neil's going to risk it. Can you feel the tension building? I can feel it. Yeah. Right. Neil, a letter. All right. D is a bad letter. But you can have a chocolate. But the rest of your team, lose it. Hurry up. What are you looking for? A truffle? There we go, mate. Well done. So I've got to take a handful, haven't I? Out of there. Into there. Right, okay. Thank you very much, Neil. Lydia, do you want to come along the line here, mate? Okay. You might get some encouragement along the way. Here we go. Okay, you've got an R, an E, and then two spaces, and then a space. What letter do you think? P. P is a good letter. Well done. Excellent. Okay. Have a chocolate. There we are. Okay. I'll get the letter P. There's the letter P. Right. Can you see that? You can't see it very well on here. Okay. You want to come this side. And you want to go. Can you hold it up? Just hold it up for everybody. Oh, don't walk too far, darling. There you go. Okay, up nice and high. So at the moment, we've got an R, an E, and then there's a gap, then there's a P, then there's an E, then there's a gap, then there's a T. We've only got 2 more letters to go. Which side am I on now? I'm on this side. Okay, yeah? No, she got it right. No, only if you get it wrong. These wretched accountants, you know, they really do try and squeeze every bit, don't they? Okay, one of my kids can come. They shouldn't be excluded. Give us a letter. Careful.
S.
S is a good letter. Yeah. Is a good letter. Well done. All right, I think I might take a handful out of this one because Hazel was a bit cheeky. Okay. All right. Got away with it this time. Don't do it again. Right, Ellen, if you'd like to come stand here. There we are. Okay, nice and high. There's one last letter, everyone. Everyone will know what it is. Yeah, I know you lot know. Is there anybody? Come on. Come on, Charlotte. Give us the last letter. I'm sure you're going to get it. Give us the last letter. What?
C.
C is the correct letter. Well done. Oh, one of these. There you go. You can choose one of those, then come up here. Okay, and then I want you to hold that. Right, well done. That is the word. What is the word?
Respect.
Okay, can you hold it nice and high? And then they're going to tell me, what is the word?
Respect.
Respect. Well done. Would you give these guys a big clap and say, you can go and sit down. Go and have it. Just put the paper on the floor. Okay. That's all right. Just shove them on the floor. Actually, down on the floor there is great. Respect. Okay, and because I respect you lot, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put all these together and then I'm going to split them in half and you can share them nicely. No? No? Isn't that what you do in church? Well, actually, look. They're roughly the same. And anyway, I just encourage you to have one from any box when you go outside. Well done. Well done. I want to just... a little bit about respect. There are the definition of respect is to hold another in high esteem or honour. And when I read that, I thought, grief, I'm going to have to go to the dictionary to find out what esteem means in order to explain it. But anyway, that's what it says, to hold another in high esteem or honour, to respect someone. Who's got Joshua chapter 5 for me? Who's put a finger in Joshua chapter 5? Catherine, thank you. If you'd like to come and just read Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15.
I was looking at Jericho last Wednesday. I was actually there.
You were in Jericho last Wednesday, and isn't that amazing?
Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy." And Joshua did so.
There we are. Thanks very much, Catherine. Now there's an instance of someone showing respect. Joshua bowed down and took off his sandals because where he was walking was holy ground. Some say that there's not much respect around now in society, don't they? I wonder, why might we show respect? To somebody? What are the things that might make us show somebody else respect? Any ideas? Well, that's what we might do for them as a sign of respect, but why would we respect them in the first place? Why might you do that in the first place? Open a door for somebody. Perhaps because they're another human being. It might be because of their age. Yeah, youngsters, respect for the older folks, and older folks, respect for the youngsters too. It might be somebody's age then, might it? Might be, what other things might, what other reasons we might? To love them, but why might we love them? Why might we respect them? I'm after the why. Because of their integrity. Now, that's a big word, Peter. What does that mean? They live a good life, and they do what is right, okay? And if we see people like that, we might actually show them respect, yes? Because we can see in their lives. Jane? Because they're made in the image of God. Just because They are human. Yes? They are a human being just like us. That's a very good reason to show everybody else respect. Thank you. Malcolm. Because of their achievements. That's a good one, isn't it? I don't know about if you... I was watching the television this week and saw about this amazing young lady who won, 13-year-old, who won 2 golds in the Paralympics over the last few weeks. And she was brought to school in a stretch limousine. Who'd like that? And all her fellow pupils lined the road. They showed her respect because of what she'd achieved. She'd worked incredibly hard, but that she was shown respect because of what she's achieved. Thank you. What other reasons? Andy? Pardon? Because someone shows courage. Yes? You show them respect. Yeah? Yeah? Jane? Jenny? Because of their position. Yes. It might be, they used to say, you know, I'm not so sure, but they used to say that you always used to be terrified of the policeman walking down the street. Is that true? I think it is. I remember just thinking, gosh, what if a policeman came to my house? Nowadays, I wonder if that respect there. So actually, you respect because of position. Any other things? Because of their sex, male or female. Yes? Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, women, respect your husbands. Is that right? Oh, it's the other way round. Oh, right. John.
Our minister,
yes. Do you know I am a reverend? Yes. Respect needs to be earned, doesn't it? It doesn't just come. But other reasons. Age, we talked about position. Skill, something they're good at. They've led a good life. They have authority. All these reasons are good reasons for us to show people respect. The Bible says that we are to respect God. It uses a word called revere. And I spoke a little bit about it here last week. The Bible says that we are to revere God, to hold him in high esteem, in high respect, in high honour. But the Bible says that we're not just to say we respect him. It's easy to say I respect him. We're actually to show it in our lives. We're actually to do respect, not just say that we respect him. Like in that reading we had in Joshua chapter 5, the commander of the Lord's army. And Joshua showed him reverence, showed him respect, bowed before him, took off his shoes. In Joshua chapter 3, a few chapters before, and we're, as a church, we're looking through the book of Joshua, the people are told to take the Ark of the Covenant, the thing that represented the presence of God, across the river. But they're to leave 1,000 cubits. They're to leave an enormous distance between them and the Ark out of respect, out of reverence for God. And that's what they're told to do. When God appeared to Moses in the Old Testament. Can anybody say, for a chocolate, what did God say to Moses? It's going to be an adult. I'm sure it's going to be an adult. Thank you, Geraldine. You can have one of these. You can have two of these at the end. The Lord said to Moses, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for where you are standing is holy ground. A sign of reverence, a sign of respect, the Bible teaches us. In Israel, when Israel came out of Egypt, Moses went up onto a mountain, and you know they had to build a fence around the bottom of the mountain to stop other people coming close to God, otherwise they might die because he's so holy, so mighty. And they had to keep this distance, this revered distance. And you know, amazingly, the people of Israel had a big church, massive, massive church in Jerusalem. Did you go to Jerusalem, Peter and Catherine? Wonderful city. And they had this almighty building. And they had various places, and then the center of this building was called the Holy of Holies. It was the place where the Ark lived. And stopping people going into the Holy of Holies was this enormous curtain. Did you see it? No, it's not there anymore. This enormous curtain that was like a barrier stopping people going into the presence of God. A sign of respect. We're told to keep our distance. God is holy. we're to respect him. But do you know, friends, something changed in Jesus. Something changed when Jesus came onto the scene. And I want to read again those verses that I read at the beginning of our worship from Hebrews chapter 10. Listen, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, that place that was previously out of bounds, but now we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. Something changed when Jesus came along. The work that Jesus did for us on the cross opened up the way. And so we can draw near to God. Do you know, in Matthew, Mark and Luke, in the Gospels, the first three books of the New Testament, all of them record that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the moment he died, it says the curtain in the temple, that barrier, was torn from the top to the bottom. And the way into the most holy place, the very presence of God, was made open because of the blood of Jesus, the body of Jesus, which was broken for us. Now we are able to draw near to God. Now, no longer must we keep distance. Now we can know God. Now we can touch him. What's interesting to note is God hasn't changed. And someone prayed that. God hasn't changed. It's still referred to as the most holy place. He hasn't changed. But now we can enter in. We can enter into his presence. Jesus' death on the cross has opened up for us a gate, a door, that we can enter in a new and living way. Isn't that wonderful? 1 Peter chapter 3 says this, "For Jesus died for us, the perfect one, for the imperfect one, to bring us to God." It's like Jesus takes our hand and says, "Come with me. I'll show you what the Father's like." Isn't that wonderful? Takes us into the very near presence of God. Through the blood of Jesus, if we come humbly believing, our wrongdoing can be forgiven. Our guilt can be taken away. We can draw near to our holy, to our almighty, to our all-powerful Creator God. We can draw near and touch him and know him. No longer do we need to keep our distance. And in fact, the New Testament goes on to show that God, far from being distant from us, actually lives in us by his Holy Spirit. What an amazing thing. Today, in baptism, Lynn is testifying to us that she knows that through faith in Jesus, she has been brought near to God. That she can know him, that he knows her. She's testifying that she knows that she has been forgiven. She knows that she has been reconciled to God. Jesus has done everything that is necessary to bring us to God. And this morning isn't about Lynn, it's about Jesus and what he has done. We're going to celebrate that in song. And if you're not familiar with these songs, don't worry. Don't try and pick up the tune, though they're wonderful tunes. Just focus on the words. We're going to come and worship God as we sing, "My Jesus, my Saviour, and Jesus is King, and I will extol him." Let's worship the Lord together. Amen. Let's be seated. Praise the Lord. Lynn, do you want to come and join me up here? Try not to be baptized prematurely. That's it. Praise the Lord. As Lynn is joining me, I'll just take a moment to explain what we're about to do. Because without a bit of an explanation, it could seem a little bit odd. But as I was thinking about it, Lynn, I thought how appropriate this is for you, because what you are doing is not exactly the same as you do at the Regal Theatre and you're acting. That's the easy bit. But is actually what she's doing is telling a story. She is telling her story, her experience. There's nothing magical about this water at all. It is water that's come out of a tap and will return to a tap. It's just water. But she's going to tell her story through that water. So I thought, how appropriate, how interesting. We do this because Jesus said that we should do it. Jesus said, be baptized. Jesus said, go into all the world and baptize. He's commanded us to do it. Jesus himself was baptized, though he had no wrongdoing in his life and didn't, in that sense, need to be baptized. He was baptized. Because he was baptized, because he did it, because he commanded us to do it. So we do it today. We baptize, we immerse people in water. But baptism is symbolic. As I said, it's a reenactment, if you like. It's an explanation of a story. It's purely symbolic. We sometimes say it's an outward sign of an inner reality, an inner experience. Baptism is a picture of a tomb, if you like. And that as someone goes under the water, it's as if we are burying them. But you'll be pleased to know, as you always are, we bring them up out again before it's too late. And we will bring Lynn out of the water, and it's a picture of her dying to herself, to her old way of life, but rising to a new way of life. And we do that because Jesus himself was laid in a tomb. But the tomb did not consume him. The tomb was not the end of the story. But he came back to life again. And as he died and rose again, so we die to ourselves, our old way of life, and we rise to new life. So it's a picture of a tomb. But it's also the picture of a bath. It's symbolic of the washing away. It's the story of the washing away of our wrongdoing, the cleansing of our lives. And we have a bath to clean ourselves and to wash ourselves, so we recognize in this that we are washed clean, but it's not by something that we have done. It's not by our own goodness. It's not by our own hard work. It is purely and simply by the blood of the Lord Jesus, the death of the Lord Jesus for us, that cleanses us from wrongdoing, that cleanses us from sin. And this, as Lynn is immersed, she's saying, actually, I can't clean myself, but Jesus has done this for me. He has forgiven me. He has washed me clean. When Jesus was baptized, two things happening. He heard a voice from the Father saying, this is my Son and I love him. A real sense of affirmation. And the dove, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, came and descended upon him. And when Lynn is baptized, we're going to speak words over her. We're going to pray for her. And we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would come on her afresh to help her live this new life, not in her own strength, but in God's strength. So Lynn, we are delighted. We welcome you. And we're going to hear your story.
Good morning. Whenever I've heard people give testimonies before, they've always started with giving details about when they first became a Christian. I'm going to find that difficult because I actually don't remember when I became a Christian. That sounds a bit strange, but people who know me well will know that I have an appalling memory. I have very little memory of my childhood at all. And this is why I don't remember that monumental time in my life when I gave my heart to Jesus. I've been quite comforted over the last few weeks because I've met a few people that say the same, which is very comforting because I used to think that I was the only person that didn't actually remember this big decision that they made. I do know when it happened because my friends have told me, and I know about how old I was and what I was doing at the time. I was in my early teens. I was about 12, 13. At that time, I was attending the Girls' Brigade here, so I did have the influence of this church at that time. And I was also worshipping at Millbridge Evangelical Church at that time, and I was a member of the youth group there. So I know that it happened around about that time, but I don't actually remember it. And it seems a shame in many ways. It's nice to be able to remember, but the flip side of that is that I do feel incredibly privileged that it actually means that I don't remember a time when Jesus wasn't in my life. I have no recollection of a time when I didn't believe. I have always, as far as I'm concerned, I have always believed in God. And that means that my faith is incredibly strong. To me, the belief that there is a God and that he sent his son Jesus to the earth to save us and that we will be reunited with him, that to me is a fact. It's as real to me as the fact that I'm a woman or I have children or that I live in Minehead. It's just a fact, which means that I have an incredibly strong faith and a real belief, which I feel very privileged to have. Having said that I've been a Christian for, say, 30 years then, I'm not saying that I've been a brilliant Christian all that time or that I've had a good relationship with God all that time. I will say that there were times when I had very sort of dry spells. When I think back to when I was at university, I didn't actively seek out a church when I was there to go and worship at. I didn't seek out the Christian Union. I'm sure there would have been one there, but I didn't. I didn't seek out Christians to spend time with. And it wasn't a conscious decision. I wasn't rebelling in any way. I just didn't, which I think is indicative that I wasn't close to God at that time. I still had faith. I just still believed. And on an intellectual level, I was a Christian. I remember I was an art student. We used to stay up late at night talking about philosophy, theology, politics, universe, anything like you do when you're a student. And I remember I was always maintaining, yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. There is a Jesus. Blah-de-blah. But if somebody had actually challenged me and said, so why don't you go to church? I don't quite know what I'd have said. Likewise, I got married soon after I left university when I was 22. I had no discussion with my husband-to-be at the time whether he had any faith, whether he believed in God, whether he had any sympathy for Christianity. It just wasn't high on my agenda at that time. And when I think back now, I think, how could I have been so blind not to have seen how important it was to surround myself by Christians and to have that relationship? And the only way I can think of it is that although I believed, I didn't actually have a relationship with Jesus through those years. It was as if God was a distant relative in another town. And I couldn't deny his existence. I knew he lived there. If you had a cousin who lived in Bristol, for example, you couldn't deny that you had one. But you might not actually actively have a relationship with that person. You might not bother ringing them or writing to them. That was how it was. I didn't deny that he existed, but I didn't have a relationship. That changed in 1990. This was the year that my dad died. Those of you who know me will know that my dad died fairly young. He was only 53. And he died of a brain tumour. And he died in the hospice in Taunton. And something happened a couple of days before he died when his parents, came to see him and to say goodbye. And it was no doubt that they knew he was dying. There was no question that he was going to recover. He was pretty almost unconscious at that stage. So we knew they were saying goodbye. And something that my grandmother said to him hit me. You know, and sometimes somebody's words can actually give you a physical response. It actually hit me, what she said to him. And it wasn't very profound. She just took his head in her hands and she just said, "Goodbye, Alan. I'll see you very, very soon." And not a profound statement, really, but I remember turning to look at her and I remember thinking, she really believes that. She really believes that this isn't the end, that there is more. She knows he's dying, but she really believes that he's going on somewhere else and that through faith, she will be reunited with him. And I remember turning to her and seeing her say this, and I remember thinking, I believe that too. I really believe that. I have always believed that. And I had to leave the room. I remember I went out into the gardens of the hospice and I was praying, and I've prayed then more than I've ever prayed. And I was just saying, I'm so sorry, Jesus, that I knew you were there all the time, ready to support me and comfort me. And I've just ignored you, really. And I suppose that was my moment when I really brought Jesus into my heart, I suppose, that day in 1990. And it was certainly a huge reaffirmation of my faith that day, which was a huge comfort, obviously, as well. Dad did die a few days later, and that was very comforting to have Jesus with me. And so that distant cousin from another town, it was as if he came to live in my head or even in my house, and I couldn't deny his existence anymore and didn't want to. And that was how it felt, and that is how it's felt ever since. Again, I'm not saying that life's been smooth since then and that I've been a brilliant person since then, but I am saying that I have felt that Jesus has been with me since then, since that day. And even in the times when I've behaved in ways that I'm not proud of, he was still there, nudging me and sort of catching me when I fell. And so it was a huge difference in my life since I made that sort of new commitment to him. I also at that time started coming back to this church, very much influenced by Ali at that time, because she was coming here then, as she always has been, and Ali's been my best friend since I was a baby. So it was only natural that I would come here. We had our young children in the church creation, in the toddler group here, and that was really what I needed at that time. And this church is very special. I don't think I need to tell people that, but it's special to me, but I also believe that it's actually very special. There are people in this church who have an ability to know what people need when they need it, and to be able to offer that to them. I've had spells when I've been very involved in the work of this church, and spells when I've not been so involved. But whenever there's been involvement, it's been just when I needed it. As I said, you know, helping with the toddler group very early on, and then more recently with the music and the drama. Every time it's come, it's been, oh, I don't really know if I want to do that. But whenever I've done it, I've felt so blessed. And more recently, the watering hole, which is, for those of you that don't know, our group of youngish women, 40-odd women, odd being the operative word, that meet regularly. That has been such a comfort, such a joy, such an inspiration, I think, to so many of us, to me and to so many of us. And again, I think, has come at a time in so many of our lives when we just so needed that. And I just think that's this church just having this skill and this talent to see what people need and when they need it. I'll stop talking now. You're probably asking why now. I can't really answer that question. I've been thinking about baptism for a long time. There have been many people in this church who've encouraged me for a long time. But all I can say is that about 4 or 5 months ago, the idea came into my head that I had to get baptized and it wouldn't leave me. It was there on my journey to work. It was there at work. It was keeping me awake at night. It was just an idea, a bit like when you know you need to buy some milk on the way home. It was just, I need to get baptized. I've got to do it. And so that's why I'm here, really. I've just sort of answered that call, really. And to me, it does seem like an act of obedience. It's as simple as that. And of gratitude as well. So that's it.
Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Just going to ask Lynn three questions, then we're going to sing a song, Blessed Be Your Name, and that's a song that talks about through the various, we've heard Lynn talking this morning about the various seasons of life, and through all the various seasons, Blessed Be Your Name, because you are God. And then we'll baptise her. Lynn, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Yes, I do.
Do you intend to follow Jesus as his disciple, obeying his command to be baptized and then to serve him in his church and in the world?
With the Spirit's help, I do.
And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
Yes, Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Let's come and baptize you. We'll stand and sing as we're getting ourselves ready. Blessed be your name. When we've baptised Lynn as she comes out of the water, so we're going to sing a song that she's particularly chosen, King of Kings, Majesty, and a time of worship. And I hope and pray that as you hear the words that have been said, as you sing these words, that the Lord might be speaking to you too about your relationship with him. Lynn, on confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in hearing your desire to be baptized, we come to baptize you now. We baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. As Jesus heard the voice of the Father and as he received the Holy Spirit, let's just pray for Lynn at this time. If you feel you have a word for her, a word of blessing, a word of encouragement, a word to build her up, then either share that in a moment or share it with her afterwards. Let's spend a moment in prayer.
My prayer for you, Lynn, is that you'll be reminded of a very familiar Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," as I've been when I've been praying for you recently. I believe that God wants you to know that he has charge over your life, that as a shepherd he watches over you to see that you stay in his fold, that he loves you unconditionally and protects you from danger, that he provides for you and lovingly bandages your wounds when you get hurt, that he wants to communicate with you in ways that you understand, that he takes care of the relationships that are important for you, that you can depend on him, and that he soaks you in his spirit when you seek his face. And so, Father God, please keep Lynn close to you and continue to bless her and provide for all her needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We ask this because she's precious to us, as we know she is also to you. Amen.
Lynn, the Lord gave me this piece of scripture for you while you were really giving your testimony. It's from Romans 5, the first five verses. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us, because of our faith. Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too that when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Lynn.
And some words from the scriptures which fit very well with the song that we've just sung. The Lord came to fulfill the prophet Isaiah, the word of the prophet Isaiah, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. We want to speak these words over you, Lynn, as a blessing. We want these words to bless you. We want the Lord to bless you. And Lord, I pray that in her moments of mourning you would comfort her. You would provide for her in her moments of grief. And you would bestow on her a crown of beauty instead of ashes. And you would bestow on her the oil of gladness instead of mourning. And that you would give to her a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Gladness, praise, beauty, comfort. May this be your experience today and every day as you walk with him. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. You can go and get changed now. Thanks, everyone. I just want to leave it as we come to sing our last song. Again, another song chosen by Lynn. Just to ask where you are with the Lord. You've heard Lynn's testimony. You've heard from the word of the Lord today. Where do you stand with him? Do you know God? Do you want to know God? He's made himself known by the life and the work of the Lord Jesus. Will you respond to him if you need to today? I pray for you. Lord, thank you for this morning, the songs, the words. Thank you for your presence. Would you be with each one of us, Lord, as we go from this place? May it be indelibly written on our hearts and on our minds. For this is the day. Help us, Lord, each one, to respond to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
If you'd like to see a clip of Lynn's actual baptism, you can find it over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And that's also where you can leave a comment on today's sermon. And of course, you can always email me on podcast@minehead-baptist.com. So thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.